The end is near.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. There's not even a shred of doubt the Federal Reserve will raise short-term interest rates again today. It'll be the 13th quarter-point boost in a row. The question is, when does the streak end? Economists differ on that, but the consensus is probably 2 to 4 more rate hikes in an effort to control inflation. That would put the federal funds rate around 5%. After today, it'll be at its highest level in 4.5 years. Also in Washington, Congress is trying to wrap up a budget bill this week. Lawmakers want to get home for the holidays. But as Gretchen Cook reports, the House and Senate versions are about $15 billion apart.
Lawmakers have to reconcile a $50 billion House bill and a $35 billion Senate bill. Both cut spending over 5 years for Medicaid, Medicare, student loans, and other entitlements. The Senate's provision for oil drilling in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge is a big stumbling block. But Jim Horney, with the Center for Budget and Policy Studies, says a fight over those entitlement cuts is a close second.
The Senate managed to achieve the cuts that they had agreed to without cuts that would affect low-income beneficiaries, but the House did cuts that would.
The Senate bill cut spending by trimming things like administrative costs rather than cutting benefits to the poor. It also has fewer social spending cuts than the House bill. Horney says those differences will be tough to reconcile, but Republican leaders expect to reach a compromise bill before Christmas. In Washington, I'm Gretchen Cook for Marketplace.
We've told you plenty about Ford and GM's problems. Chrysler's got them too, just not as many. The company's doing well enough to offer dealers $250 for every car they stock this month. And Daimler Chrysler says it'll invest $1 billion to upgrade factories in St. Louis. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith tells us why.
Many of Ford, GM, and Daimler Chrysler's factories were built decades ago. Now they lack the flexibility automakers need. Lawrence Ulrich covers the industry for Money Magazine.
You used to be able to design a truck and keep it going for 15 years, but these days it's so ruthlessly competitive that you've got to fully redesign every 5 or 6 years.
So the still profitable Chrysler is upgrading its St. Louis facilities to handle multiple models at a time. It's not cheap, but Ulrich says modernizing should be a priority.
As bad as it is for GM and Ford, if they don't continually strive to match the Toyotas and Nissans in the world as far as up-to-date, modern, flexible manufacturing, these guys are really going to be dead.
Chrysler had other motivations, like $24 million in tax breaks from St. Louis. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Car buying's expected to give today's retail sales figures a kick. Analysts think last month's numbers will be 0.5% higher when they come out this morning. And how about a much bigger number? $35 billion. That's how much oil giant ConocoPhillips will pay for American natural gas producer Burlington Resources. It's the industry's biggest deal since the 2001 Chevron Texaco buyout. A mixed day on Wall Street. The Dow lost 10 points to end at 10,767. Drug company Merck was a drag after a mistrial in the federal Vioxx case. But the S&P 500 climbed a point to 1260. The NASDAQ gained 4 to 2260. Today, oil is trading near $61 a barrel. This is Marketplace. Architects, engineers, and contractors gather in Washington today for a conference on environmental building. They want to work with the U.S. government. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Alex Cohen reports.
If sustainable building is your business, the federal government is a great client to have. Uncle Sam spends more than $20 billion each year acquiring or substantially renovating government facilities. One of the key themes of this week's conference, you can't take a one-size-fits-all approach to designing green government buildings. Helen English is executive director of the Sustainable Buildings Industry Council. She says building a small, environmentally sensitive visitor center in a rural area may be relatively simple.
But if you're a federal building that's set up to house airplane and tank parts, and perhaps a dangerous part of the world, you have a very different relationship to sustainability.
The conference runs through Friday. I'm Alex Cohen for Marketplace.
Which comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Toyota. Designing vehicles with hybrid synergy drive for fuel efficiency and low emissions. More at Toyota.com. Toyota, moving forward. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation. On the web at kauffman.org. Market data and news brought to you by Reuters. The facts, without spin, as they happen. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. The World Trade Organization opened a six-day summit today in Hong Kong. On the agenda, talks aimed at knocking down trade barriers, what's known as the Doha Round. Its organizers say success could mean big rewards, an extra $300 billion a year in global trade. But as Stephen Beard tells us, many people think the talks will fail, and that could cause other problems.
The talks were launched in the wake of 9/11 and were dubbed the Development Round. The thinking was that the best way to combat global terrorism was to fight poverty through trade, to bring rich and poor nations closer together. But, says Simon Cox of The Economist magazine, the mood has changed.
That feeling that international cooperation is of huge importance has slowly ebbed away. And what we've seen is countries falling back on their own national self-interest.
The Europeans, at French insistence, have refused to cut their farm support any further. The US is determined to protect American steelworkers and cotton producers. And, says aid worker Peter Hardstaff, poor countries are getting nervous about throwing open their markets to foreign competition.
I think there is already a degree of caution in many developing countries about the kind of the onward march of liberalisation.
The caution is natural, says Andrew Pendleton of Christian Aid. Poor countries are resisting opening their economies to foreign goods since Western companies could decimate domestic markets. He says the Doha talks are in danger of collapse.
The indication from some of the African delegates that we polled is really if nothing else is put on the table, then they'll walk out.
And that, argues Simon Cox, would reverberate around the world.
You've seen a rising protectionist sentiment in several countries, including America. And one of the things that's kept that sentiment in check is the feeling that it would jeopardise an important global trade round. Now, if that global trade round doesn't look like it's going to happen, then there's no longer that check on protectionist sentiment.
The trend towards globalisation could falter. Failure in Hong Kong, says Andrew Pendleton, could undermine the body that drives the global trade talks and polices global trade agreements.
If poor countries are pushed to the point where they feel they're not going to get enough out of the meeting in Hong Kong and they do have to walk out, then the WTO is going to be in jeopardy, and that will be a real shame if the WTO crumbles before our eyes.
He doesn't believe the WTO will crumble overnight, but he worries about the effectiveness of this body, which represents 149 countries and accounts for 90% of world trade. Simon Cox is also concerned about failure in Hong Kong.
It might be the case that WTO's credibility suffers and that countries look to cut bilateral deals, just deals between two or three countries. And that's a very poor substitute for liberalisation on a global scale.
He says the Doha aim of promoting global cooperation would have been well and truly defeated. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Ah, the smells of...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.